All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talking about last week our need for God's wisdom. And what we learn in these verses, as I said last week, is first of all, the wisdom of God can only be found in Christ, the glorious person, the finished work of Christ. Paul wrote that in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's the doctrine of who Christ is. That's what this gospel is all about. That's what the Word of God, that's what the truth is all about. I was reading an article in the newspaper today where a fellow was talking about truth. And he went on to show, you know, how truth varies amongst people and different ideas. He said even facts change. Well, let me tell you a truth that never varies. Let me tell you a fact that never changes. And that's the truth and the fact and the wisdom of God revealed in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of his people. Paul had made much of that in 1 Corinthians 1. We preach Christ crucified, the preaching of the cross. He talked about how the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But to us who are saved, to the children of God who know Christ, by the revelation of God, he is both the power of God, he's the wisdom of God. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. That's the singularity, the simplicity of the wisdom of God. If you want to know salvation, if you want to be wise unto salvation, look to Christ in every way that the Bible describes him, reveals him. The Lord, our righteousness. I don't have any righteousness but Christ. If you want to know the wisdom of God and how he justifies the ungodly, look to Christ. And that's what we see. In Christ, we see what kind of sinners we are. I use that passage in John 16 that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin because we believe not on him. If you want to measure the sinfulness of man, then measure it by Christ, because he's the one whom God has appointed and given us assurance in him that it's his righteousness that we have to measure up to. And nothing we do, nothing we try to do can measure up to the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. That's why my only hope is to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ. That's his righteousness imputed to me and received by God-given faith. That's the righteousness of God that's revealed in the gospel. That's the wisdom of God. In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. And then secondly, we saw that the wisdom of God comes to his people by revelation. Now that's what Paul is talking about here. In verse 6, look at 1 Corinthians 2. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect there means complete. And how are we complete? We're complete in Christ. We're not complete in ourselves. The perfection, we can talk about perfection, which is sinless perfection. We don't have that. We're sinners saved by grace. Now we are sinlessly perfect as we stand in Christ, washed in his blood and clothed in his righteousness. But when he talks about those who are perfect, he's talking about those who are saved by grace, sinners saved by grace, who are complete in Christ. And because that's the only kind of people that this is wisdom to. The natural man won't receive it. It's foolishness to him. That's what he said back up in verse 18 of chapter 1. The preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing, unbelievers, foolishness. But this is the wisdom of God to us. It's the power of God unto salvation. You see, part of the problem with this thing of discernment that we're going to look at is people by nature don't know the difference between good and evil as God measures it. Now you understand what I'm saying. I mean, we know all kinds of people. They know what it is to break the law of the land and to treat people right and all of that. But I'm talking about as God measures goodness in the matter of our standing before him. By nature, we don't know the difference between good and evil. In fact, I think it was the prophet Isaiah said that one of the indictments brought against the natural man is he calls good evil and evil good. You remember the rich young man that came to Christ and said, "What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life, to have eternal life?" And Christ said to him, "Why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. Your measure of goodness is wrong. Because the measure of goodness before God is Christ. That's the wisdom of God. That's why it says there's none righteous, there's none that doeth good, no, not one, as God measures it." Now that's why we need to hear the word of God. That's why we need the judgment of God. That's why we need the wisdom of God. And so he says, we speak, verse 6, the wisdom of God among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. And he says, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. That fellow in that article this morning, he mentioned all kinds of noble people, people that we look up to. He mentioned Einstein. He mentioned different preachers, all of that. And basically what this is telling us is that, humanly speaking, they don't have a clue. Now, Einstein, he could talk to you about the theory of relativity. He could talk about E equals MC squared. But you ask him, how can God be just and justify the ungodly? He didn't have a clue. And no preacher does who doesn't know Christ and doesn't preach Christ. I don't care who they are. I don't care how big of a following they have. He says, none of the princes of this world said they that come to naught, comes to nothing. Verse 7, look at that. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, you remember what Christ told the disciples when they asked him about, why do you speak in parables? He says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Well, this is it. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Now, a mystery here, as I've told you before, and you know this is so, it's not the kind of mystery that you look for clues and you figure, put the clues together and figure out. What it is, he's saying, it's got to be revealed by God. And that's what I'm saying. The wisdom of God comes to his people by revelation. Hold your finger there. Let me read a passage from Matthew chapter 11 to you. Listen to this. Christ speaking about the preaching of the gospel as it is rejected by the natural man. Natural meaning how we're born naturally into this world, fallen in Adam. Spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And he says in verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now the wise and the prudent there is talking about human wisdom and human intellect. Those who are proud of their knowledge, their natural knowledge, and think, like the Greeks and like the Jews, that they can work their way into knowledge of God by human wisdom and learning, and will not let go of it. And the babes here refers to those who are totally, totally, totally dependent upon the Lord. That's what that means. That doesn't mean that they're babes naturally, like little babies laying in a crib. It means that they are totally, that's the issue of a baby. A baby is totally dependent upon its parents for its well-being. Well, my friend, we are totally dependent upon God's grace and power for our eternal well-being. But read on in Matthew 11, verse 26. Christ says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now listen to verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Remember at his baptism, the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. If you're going to know the Son, it must be as he is revealed by the Father. And for us, this is it. This is where he's revealed in his word. And then he says this, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. If you're not going to know God truly as your heavenly Father, That knowledge must come through Christ. That's the revelation. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This is no new wisdom. This is no new message. This is the word of God, the wisdom of God, the purpose of God before this world was ever created. Salvation given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Basically, here's the point. If we already knew God, if we were already in a state of salvation or a state of righteousness before God, Christ would not even have had to come and been crucified. Paul wrote it this way in Galatians 2:21. If righteousness come by the law, by what we do, Christ died in vain. If we could work righteousness by our efforts, Christ would not have had to have come into the world and to be crucified. But listen, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The things of salvation, the things of God's grace, of how God justifies the ungodly, the sanctification of his people, the preservation of his people, those things have never even entered into the mind and the affections, the will, the understanding of natural man. But how did we get to know him then? Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The wisdom of God comes to his people by revelation. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know what that means? That means only God can know God. Which means this. If we're going to know God, God must reveal himself. Nobody can come to you. No natural person. I don't care how good they are in our eyes, how smart they are, how rich they are, they cannot come to you and sit down and say, now, let me give you the knowledge of God. Now, God's people can through preaching the gospel from the word of God. But that's God revealing himself. You understand that? In other words, this is not going to come from natural science, man, human religion, philosophy. This knowledge must come from God because the Holy Spirit is God. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, look at, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Only thing man can tell us is what he knows of himself, and he's spiritually dead. The spirit of man in him is spiritual death. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, if any man does know them, it's been revealed by God. God is our teacher. Now, he uses old weak vessels like me that have to sit in a chair every now and then to preach because you got arthritis or whatever. Stumbles around, sniffles around. That's what we have, this treasure in earthen vessels. But the message, see, it's not the man, is it? It's the message. This message is something else. I mean, this message is much greater than gold and silver. This is an eternal message. Think about it. And so he says, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 12. Now this tells us basically the next issue, that the wisdom of God is received by God-given faith. How do you receive the wisdom? By God-given faith. That's what he told the disciples. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You see what he's saying there? It's been revealed to you. It's been given to you. This is a gift. You don't have anything to be proud of about this. You didn't by research, by human research and climbing the mountain find this. This is what God came down to us in our slough of despond and revealed on our dunghill religion and revealed it to us. He shined the light. And listen to what he says in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. This didn't come from the world. But the spirit which is of God. The life of God. How do I know that I've seen that? How do I know I've received that? Look at the next line. This is important. Underscore this in your Bibles if you haven't already. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, freely given. That means unconditionally. That means without a cause. That puts to death modern religion's view of how God saves sinners. They'll tell you that God sent Christ to make salvation possible. If you'll do something, whether it's works or make a decision, that's not what it is. Freely given. What is freely given to us? You want to hear the wisdom of God in that issue? What's freely given? Everything in salvation is freely given. That's right. My justification before God is based upon the righteousness of Christ, not my righteousness. Freely imputed to me. My sanctification, my new birth, my faith, my repentance, my perseverance is all freely given to me of God. I didn't earn it, don't deserve it. It's all free grace, sovereign grace. Do you know that? Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. We got to do something for it. That's the spirit of the world. That's evil. That's lack of discernment. That's what the natural man believes. I know I was there. You were too, if you know God. Wait a minute, preacher. I know Christ died for all of us, and we have to make it. We have to seal the deal with our decision. No. That's the wisdom of the world. This is the wisdom of God. It's freely given. Verse 13. Look at which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Let me ask you a question. You ever been to one of these meetings where they have an invitation system? You ever been to one of those? Ask you a question. If you've been to one of them, you know what they're like. I've been to some of them. I was at one where we were almost up to midnight because the evangelist was bound and determined to get somebody down that stupid aisle. And let me tell you, where do you see that in God's word? From Genesis to Revelation, do you see any evangelist, any true preacher of the gospel doing that in God's word? Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that that's the words which man's wisdom teaches. But we speak that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That means we speak about spiritual things. We're not speaking about earthly things. And so the wisdom of God is received by God-given faith. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how it comes. And that's when, here's the last one, the wisdom of God brings spiritual discernment. Look at it, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, what are the things of the Spirit of God? The word of God. That's what this Bible is. Whatever's in this Bible that is truth, which it all is, but whatever this book says about salvation, how God saves sinners by his grace through the blood of Christ alone, through his righteousness imputed alone. However God brings life to a dead sinner. See, those are the things that the Spirit of God teaches. But the natural man won't receive them. He won't believe them. Why? He don't want to be converted. Remember Matthew 13? They shut their eyes and they close their ears, lest they be converted. Converted to what? Well, you remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3? He said, if any man could attain righteousness by what they do, he said, I more. If any man could boast in their lifestyle and their works in religion, he said, I could more. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised the eighth day. You remember that? Philippians 3? I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees as he went down. And the world, the natural world, the spirit of the world, looks at that man and says, oh boy, Paul, that's all good. God's smiling on you, friend. You're righteous in his sight. You're okay. That's our discernment. See, that's how we judge it. And then Paul comes down to verse 7 and he says, but God revealed himself to me, and when he did, in the light of Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead, my judgment, my value system, my worldview, my discernment changed. I was converted. And that which I thought was good, now I see as evil. Why, Paul? Why was that evil? It didn't glorify God. It glorified man. Why was that evil, Paul? It didn't exalt Christ. It exalted the sinner. It was works of unbelief. That's why it's evil. I was converted. And now my only hope, my only goodness, my only righteousness is to be found in Christ. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. The only good thing that I can have to present before God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the wisdom of God. And when the Pharisees heard these things, they did not want to call their, what they assumed and discerned as their goodness, to be evil. They didn't want to say, oh no, Paul, I'm not going to call. I've gone to church all my life. I was baptized when I was 13. I gave my heart to the Lord. Don't want to call that evil. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, spiritually judged. But look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual, he discerneth, that's what that word means, judgeth, all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now the all things there means all things concerning the wisdom of God in salvation. That's what he's talking about. It's kind of like what John said in 1 John 2 when he said, talking about those who went out from us, they weren't of us. But he said, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That doesn't mean we know everything. But it means we know all things pertaining to how God saves sinners. The gospel. How sinners are justified before God. We know those. The natural man doesn't. And we judge all things in light of that. Whatever you say about your salvation, whatever a person says about eternal life and glory, we discern it. We judge it as it compares to Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. Do you understand that? Let me show you what I mean by that. I've told you this before, that there are two things that are common to all false religion, even false Christianity. Number one, they all without exception will make salvation conditioned on sinners at some stage, to some degree, in some way. In other words, it's not freely given. Some of it's got to be conditioned on you and me. That's false religion. But secondly, is they all will measure righteousness and holiness on a sliding scale. It's me as I'm compared to you, or you as I'm compared to me. But see, the true gospel, the true wisdom of God that brings us this discernment, shows us that all of salvation is freely given to us by God. Not conditioned on me. My election before the foundation of the world wasn't conditioned on me. It was conditioned on God's sovereign mercy and goodness, given to me in Christ. So why did he choose me? I don't know. Christ said it there in Matthew 11. He said, "For so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight." My justification before God is freely given. It's not based upon what I do or even what I believe. It's based upon what Christ did on that cross to put away my sins and establish the only righteousness by which I stand before God, accepted. My sanctification, my new birth, my perseverance, my glorification is all conditioned on Christ. If he doesn't keep me, I won't be kept. It's all freely given. My reward, not rewards plural, but my reward is not conditioned on me. You think I'm going to get a greater reward than you because I'm up here preaching and you're sitting down there listening? No. It's all freely given in Christ. Free grace based upon the righteousness of Christ. That's the wisdom of God. That's wherein we discern things. And then secondly, all righteousness is to be measured not on a sliding scale of where I was and where I am today. All righteousness is to be measured by Christ. The perfection of the righteousness of the law can only be found in Christ. Everything else comes short. What does that tell me? That tells me, in the wisdom of God, that without Christ, I'm nothing. Without him, I'm nothing. No matter what you see, no matter what I do, without Christ, it's all in vain. You see that? But he says here in verse 15, he that is spiritual is judged of no man. You know what that means? That means that unregenerate, unbelieving people, they have no right to judge us because they don't know what a Christian really is. Did you know that? I did a whole chapter on that in that book I wrote on what is a Christian. John said it this way in 1 John 3. He said, "The world knoweth us not." Somebody said, "Well, you ought to show the world that you're a Christian." Brother Mahan used to say, "Well, if they saw that you followed Christ, or if you were like Christ, you know what they'd do? They'd crucify you like they did him." Christ told his disciples in John 15, he said, "Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you." The world, the natural man, judges salvation by what they see men and women do, not by what they believe. And so in verse 16, now I'm going to capitalize on this verse because I told you last week there's a phrase there that we need to understand. He says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" What he's saying there is simply this. The mind of God is revealed in his word. It's not revealed from our own personal ideas, as if I'm teaching God something. I'm not teaching God anything. He's teaching me everything. You see, that's just it. God doesn't ask our advice. He doesn't say, "Now, Brother Parker, what do you think I should do here?" No. Who's been his counselor? Nobody. We're submitted to the teachings, the wisdom, the knowledge of God here. And he says, but we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Two things about that, and I'll close, and I'm going to deal with that more in detail. How do we have the mind of Christ? Well, there's several ways, but let me give you the two main ways right off, and you can be thinking about it. Number one, we have his word. Right there. You want to know what Christ thinks? Read his word. Number two, we have his spirit. We have his spirit. That's what he says here. We have the mind of Christ. We have the spirit and the word. And he brings our thinking around to be in submission to Christ. Now, I'm going to talk about that later on, but I don't have time to deal with that today. But anyway, I hope that that's helpful to you. Let's look in our hymnals to hymn number 337. Teach me thy way, O Lord.